Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call. We're getting everybody unmuted and online here with us. I'd like to welcome everybody to the open call. Jesse, I will turn it over to you. Today, by the way, is the 21st day of January of 2013. We'll get the date in on this, and I'll let Jesse do a disclaimer and any other announcements he wants to make before we get started with good news.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Yeah, welcome. Dave, thank you. Larry, everybody. John, I'm sure everybody's with us. Of course, tonight we're going to have a lot of discussion about legal information, legal subject matter, but of course none of it should be taken as legal advice. We're not attorneys. If you want an attorney, you're seeking an attorney's advice, please go see one. Don't join us here because you're not going to get any legal advice here. Again, we're going to have a lot of discussion and fun with legal information and legal subject matter, but again, none of it should be taken as legal advice. So with that being said, back to you, Dave. I don't know what you got, if you're going to go over raising hands and the good news and all that other stuff.
Yeah, raising hands for this call is done simply by hitting the one key on the keypad on your phone. It's just a little bit different than what we were doing with TalkShoe. Hit the one key. And that will get your hand raised in the queue. And only raise your hand at this point in time for good news, please. We want to separate that. And this doesn't give me quite the visibility that I had with TalkShoe. At this point in time, we believe they're going to be making some changes on things, on the functionality of this, which will help us. It's going to be great. And that was... that's going to be done at Gary's suggestion, our wonderful webmaster, the man that makes everything happen behind the scenes. And that's a real good deal. We just want to welcome everybody to the new format of being on Blog Talk Radio. It is a change we made beginning the first of the year. And we would like to welcome everybody to our broadcasts here. And we look for a lot of expansion this year. That's one of the big things. So I will make announcements as to the other calls and stuff at the end of this call tonight. But at this point in time, anybody that has good news, you want to raise your hand. That'll put you in the queue where I can see you, and we can go ahead and get you in for good news and let you share that with us. So, Jesse, do you have anything else you want to go over before we go to some good news?
No, not in specific, man. It's been a quiet week. It really has. Other than Larry, I'm waiting for you to give me what you said you were going to give me 2 weeks ago.
I'm working at it right now.
Yeah.
Because I knew you were going to yell at me.
My process of service isn't as slow.
I want you to hold your breath. Might not be healthy. I said nobody wants you to hold your breath. That might not be healthy.
Yeah, really, that long. Might get a fish hook caught in it.
No, I went through a bad experience with a mediator, and Larry's going to show me and told me exactly what I need to do to file the complaint against the guy.
Was he naughty?
Yeah, being dishonest, which isn't cool. So.
That's not cool at all.
No.
You tell him what he did.
Yeah, he was a judge in a prior case of mine.
Oh, and he didn't.
Yeah. So, a lot of fun with that, you know. I mean, it just is what it is.
The same case, Jesse.
Yeah.
Not just a prior case, but the very same case.
Yeah, the very, very same case.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sending a letter of apology. Try to charge you.
Yep. So, you know, I don't know who it sounds like. You're in some New York typing session there, but that Dave.
Sounds like, yeah, I heard that. Whoever's guilty, that's probably Terry.
Yeah. please.
Yeah, I was answering an email. I'm sorry. I thought I was
muted. Yeah. Is Cherry or Cherry can mute herself, as we always tell our other
guests. Yeah.
Good. And then you say something, and I got to unmute myself. I'm muting.
No, quit retorting.
I don't know what the weather's like over there, but Larry, you getting all these winds over here? It seems like a dang hurricane's going to come by Orlando. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is
pretty
blowing.
Windy.
Yeah, it's probably 40, 45 mile an hour winds right now through here.
Wow.
That's the cold front coming.
Yeah.
Well, it...
Time for our fishing permit.
Yeah. We had 72 degrees yesterday, and I think we were 47 today. And,
wow.
But yet tomorrow's supposed to be the yo-yo back up to in the 60s. So, you know, it is what it is. It is wintertime. The weather is bad. Jeff Skyped me earlier saying that his dear wife couldn't get the flight out coming home, so he's got to leave the call a little bit early tonight to go pick her up at a train station. She's taking a train home because she couldn't get a flight, so... You know, the Northeast is being pummeled by that storm, and they've had much worse, but just the same, you know, it does affect people's lives. So everybody be safe out there, hopefully, on all your travels, no matter what mode of transportation you're using. Be safe. Take your time. If you're driving, if you're listening, make sure you pay attention to the road before you pay attention to the call, please.
Yeah, nice.
So, yep. But I have just a tidbit of good news. That is just that my cell phone keeps ringing, and I've got 109 calls from Midland. They just won't quit, and I have probably answered the last just about every one of the last 40 calls and told them every single time to quit calling the phone. And they just keep
going.
They're brain dead. And it's 3 to 4 times a day. However, they're really easy today. I only got 2 so far, but the day's not over. But, you know, you just never know when this stuff's going to happen. But if these people want to violate that, I think most of you know that I'm more than happy to deal with them appropriately in the courts. And they will pay me eventually.
And there's more good news in regard to that. Because when you get calls from Midland, that is Midland Credit Management. They are the ones who do the calls. And that means, and we now have plenty of case law and plenty of law interpretation and the evidence to prove that not only is Encore Capital Group vicariously responsible, so is Mr. Brandon Black, the CEO.
Wow.
Directly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been doing some real digging and reading and studying.
Oh, yeah, and everything that I found in their SEC 10-K report, people, that is really valuable, is the same statements from this guy as the guy who is the president of PRA, and the judge ruled against him, too, saying, oh, no, you don't. That entity is not a passive investment. You are, and he admits in an article on the internet that he is the president and CEO of Midland Credit Management. He does not get to say that it's a corporate veil.
He's right in there.
Oh yeah, and
in
all
the individual entities.
I'm thinking that they must use the same company to put together these 10-K reports, because the language that was in that PRA case, which is a big class action in the California MDL, the language is identical to the language that's in Encore's 10-K.
Well, that's not surprising.
Not at all.
It really isn't. Yep. All right. Well, let's see who else we've got that's got some good news out here. We have somebody from 612 has their hand raised. And come on, mute. Let's go here. It's come on. There we go.
Did we tell anybody how to raise their hand? Just press 1?
Yes. You press 1. I did that earlier. Yes. Yeah, 612, you have been unmuted. Do you have good news for us? Hello, 612. If you don't have good news, we're going to go ahead and mute you back. If we don't have any talking there, so let's go to, let's see, we go down the list here. That's all we had right at the moment. Anybody that does have good news, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone.
Yeah, we can get the Q&A, Dave. We don't need to wait around.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, if we don't have anybody else that pops up, then we're going to go to Q&A. So in that case, all of those people, if we don't have any other good news from any of our group here, let's just go to Q&A. And to raise your hand for that, hit 1 on the keypad on your phone. That will this goes for everybody, and this will put you in and get you going. So let's go to 407. You have been muted. Or unmuted, I should say.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
How
are
you?
How are you? I'm fine.
Good.
Question I have is I received letters from Chase and Bank of America, old credit cards, who are reporting that I have to the IRS that they're reporting that that what I did not pay them is going to be considered income. Have y'all received anything like that?
Sure.
It's a 1099. Yeah, what do you do with those, Dave?
Well, different people deal with them in different ways. Some people will just go ahead and send a 3949A IRS form, file that with the IRS, telling them that it's been a fraud. There's been a fraudulent 1099 issued on your account.
And what was that form again?
3949A. That's an IRS form. And they got all the instructions to fill that out there.
3949A. Okay.
Right. And of course, you know,
that's pretty common then.
Oh, yeah. We don't give any kind of, you know, legal advice or IRS tips. We're not accountants, lawyers, none of that. I'm just telling you what a number of people have done and that have been in that situation.
Okay. I'll have to look again to see if they're in the queue for me to sue them or not. I don't recall right off the top of my head. I'm working on a few others. But I hadn't seen anything like this yet, and I'm sure they've already sold this debt to someone else.
You don't know,
Dave. What you can do on a 1099 like that, also that the form that Dave's talking about, I think is effective. I really do. But I think you can also do a corrected 1099. You can correct it and send it in along with that one. So make sure – listen, I want to tell everybody first and foremost that before you start doing anything, I know it's tax season, go see Pete Hendrickson's site. Go buy his book, LostHorizons.com, and it's cracking the code. You guys really, really need to study up on that stuff also. It's simple. It's really not that hard, how to file your own taxes. And he takes W-2s and does corrected W-2s. And that's all his readers that have actually learned the correct way to file taxes. Very interesting stuff. And, yes, I forgot about that, Dave. It is tax season. I think everybody needs to get out there long before April 15th, read the book, buy the book, and then learn how to file the corrected 1041s. Okay? I think that's like of absolute value, unbelievable value. So you
said it was losthorizon.com?
Lost Horizons with a S, plural.
Okay. And that man's name is Hendrickson?
Yes. Hendrickson. Just look for Lost Horizons. It'll pop up on Google.
Okay.
Great. Really, really is great.
Okay. Thank you so much. Oh, can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
Sure.
Go for it.
Jesse, I spoke to you the other day regarding a hearing and a trial for my foreclosure this week.
I remember.
This is Velva. It's been a complete joke. The judge is not listening to anything my attorney has had to say, and the attorney for the plaintiff actually decided to back out, and so somebody else showed up. It makes no sense. They don't even have the mortgage. They sold it 6 months ago to somebody else, and they were not represented. The judge is not listening to anything, not making a decision on anything, and is just going to let it go to trial. And it's just a joke. They've already decided.
Hey,
Velva, Yeah,
I talked to her today. I think on Thursday she's going to show.
You broke
I'm
up.
I'm sorry,
right?
What now?
You broke up.
Yeah, the
There's
phone
a hearing
is
on Thursday. I think she's going to shut it down then.
Well, we are going to attempt another hearing on Thursday, but I honestly am not going to get my hopes up. So I'm wondering, should I get a court reporter for the hearing as well as the trial, or is that kind of a waste of
always.
Money?
Always.
For the hearing as well?
Always, always, always.
Should I go to the hearing and not the trial, and not just the trial?
I would go to it all. Right, Larry?
Yep.
Why would
okay.
you not go to a hearing?
Hearing, even if an attorney.
I was not advised to, and I might get might show myself off a little bit. I'm really quite tired of all this ridiculous fraud. This joke, I mean, that I can't even have a normal, I can't be, you know, it's just a joke. It's a sham, and it's just, it's ridiculous what's going on in our country. It really is.
I agree.
It just gets worse and worse.
Yes.
I mean, honest to God, it's just getting worse and worse.
Yeah. That's why we have to do what we're doing. We have to stand up to it.
Clearly, you can see I get a little emotional and out of control, and maybe that's why I might not need to go. But if that's what I
need
to do. You need
to restrain yourself and you know, be civil before the court without question. You know, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you are being threatened with contempt. That's just not a good place to be, is it, Jesse or Larry?
No.
Yes.
Not a good place to be. I mean, you know, sometimes things happen and you may end up, you know, getting there. You may be on the verge of it and stuff, but it's going in and ranting in a courtroom is not going to get you anywhere but frowned upon and on the wrong side of the black dress.
Yeah.
Because they feel that's their playground, it's their yard, their living room. And, you know, if you're going to mind while you're visiting their house.
Well, I'm afraid I don't play nice sometimes anymore. I'm just so tired of it. But anyway, I appreciate your information, and I'll be in touch. Thank you so much.
All right, you bet. Thank you. Okay. I got to get in there. Let's see. Let's go to 919. You have been unmuted.
Hello, Dave.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. How are you doing?
I was going to ask you something last Monday, but I forgot now. So I'm going to ask you now. Let me give you a little background. On November of last year, I mean November of 2012, my house was foreclosed, you know, in an auction, and the bank bought it. And then the Homeowners Association in July of 2013, 7 months ago, they wanted me to pay $300, okay? And they sent them a debt validation letter, and they say that they're in the right. So even though they're the creditors, it's a non-existent debt, right? So I can sue him because I wasn't the owner.
Yeah. What we talked about this here several weeks ago, if I remember correctly, and you said the amount of money they were trying to collect was for a period of time after you lost your property, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. How could you possibly owe any HOA dues on a property that you don't own, that's within that HOA?
Well,
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to say that they didn't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they say. It's a matter of what the facts are. If you don't own, that would be like somebody coming up to me and saying that I owe $300 in HOA fees for somebody that lives in an HOA over in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'm in Dallas. I mean, I don't have a property over there. How could I possibly owe any HOA fees and have a debt to an HOA?
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
you're right.
You know, but you sent them a debt validation letter, which is exactly what you should do. And how did they answer that?
Yeah, I owe the $300.
Well, no, exactly. How did they answer? What did they send you?
Well, they sent the creditor's name, the name of the homeowners association. You know, the usual stuff.
Well, no, I'm asking for specifics. Don't say usual stuff. How exactly did they answer your demand for validation? What did they send you? Was it just a letter stating, here's the name of the creditor and you owe $300? Or did they send you more documentation saying it's for the period from this to this, or what? What did they send you?
Well, it says the amount of the debt is $300, number one. Number two, the name of the creditor is the Summer Homeowners Association. The basis of this debt is maintenance assessments. This is an attempt to collect the debt. The governing documents of Summer Homeowners Association bestow the right to place a lien for non-payment of assessments and possibly foreclose that lien upon the property.
Right. And they haven't even got the brains to understand at this point in time that you don't own the property. I'm assuming you've told them that? Is that correct?
No, it was only a debt validation letter. I didn't tell
you haven't that. Told them that you no longer own the property, that it was foreclosed?
No, I didn't tell them. I just put it in a paragraph. Debt validation, if you have any judgment, you know, stuff like that.
Well,
give me proof of the,
Yeah, but, I mean, they don't even, evidently, they haven't looked at the records to see that you no longer own the property. Now,
yeah,
Jesse.
That's the problem.
Jesse, Larry. Isn't there a possibility sometimes when they do the foreclosures that they don't actually file the documents, the change of ownership in the public record right away, that sometimes there are delays in that? I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but isn't that the case at times?
Sometimes, but the title is what you're looking for. You want a title change.
Right.
They went to the County Recorder 2 months later in January of 2013, and they changed from one bank to the next bank. And that, they sold it to another bank, and they went to the County Recorder to change.
Right.
What is all that noise?
Yeah, I don't know where all the noise is coming from on there. Yeah, I'm hearing it as well. It appears that maybe it stopped now. Whoever was making it, it's great if we can eliminate that. Well, first of all, they're attempting to collect a debt that's non-existent, right?
Yeah, so that alone is enough reason. You're in Florida, right?
No, I'm in North Carolina.
North Carolina? Yeah, I don't know the specific, state laws there. But the FDCPA still wouldn't apply to them. It doesn't matter.
It wouldn't apply? Would not?
No, would not. They're the original creditor. They're the ones you dealt with.
Yeah, but it's a non-existing debt. I don't know, and I don't owe them anything, right?
Yeah, but they're going to come back. That's going to be the defense, and the judge is going to say yes. I'm
what
telling
you've got
you,
to do,
time and effort.
Yeah, what you've got to do is you've got to notify them and tell them, I no longer own the property. It has not. It was foreclosed on, and sold, and transferred to ABC Bank on January 17th of 2013, or whenever it was.
Why should he tell him that?
I have no liability for any fees. Pardon?
Hey, you don't have to tell him that, Dave. That's not his responsibility.
Responsibility.
Well,
yeah, 6 months. This is
true, but how long does he want to deal with them, and what recourse is he going to have if they are an original creditor not subject to the FDCPA?
Well, Dave, more significant question is, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
Unless I'm mistaken, they're going
to
They're going to file a lien on the property that he doesn't own.
To be an original creditor, there has to be a debt. There is no debt.
So sue and ask him later, right, Larry?
So that's Larry's motto operandi, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd let her sit there, see if they start calling you and send you more letters.
Right. If they report it on your credit report, if they do something I would probably go after them. But Larry did bring up a good point. There is no debt because you don't owe them anything. You don't owe them anything, correct? You don't owe them anything.
That's right, yeah.
The house is gone. It's not in your name. You've severed ties. So they really are no more. This is not a straggler $300 that you owe them from when you owned the house, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't owe him anything.
At this point, they're not a creditor of any sort. His ties were severed when the house was foreclosed upon with that homeowner association. So now he has zero responsibility to them. You're right, Larry. He has zero responsibility to them.
Maybe they owe me money because in January of 2013, I paid them the $300 and the house wasn't mine. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I shouldn't have paid that $300.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You're right.
In July, they asked me for another $300. The house wasn't mine since November of 2012.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like somebody is very lax in their record keeping.
They usually are.
Which is not a surprise.
Okay.
Just send us money and we're happy. We tell you owe us money and you send us a check and we're happy. It doesn't matter whether you owe it or not.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you another question, a short one. The attorney that evicted me, in the envelope, he wrote down eviction. So that's 1692F8, right? Now I'm going to send him a letter of notice of litigation, of intent to litigate. Dave, can you please tell me how to pressure them, tell them that my wife is going to file if they don't include? You know, I heard that you said a couple of months something related to that, but I forgot to write it down.
I am completely confused as to what you're talking about, to be honest with you.
No, I have to tell them that if we don't settle, my wife is going to file a lawsuit, you know, because in the envelope is my name and my wife's name, the envelope. Okay. So I was wondering if you can tell me...
What envelope are you referring to?
The one for the eviction. When they were trying to evict me, they wrote down the word eviction outside the envelope, right next to the attorney name.
They put eviction on the outside of the envelope?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse?
That's the 1692F8.
Yeah, what about it? It's just an automatic violation.
There you
go. Why are we answering the question? This has been answered like for 4 years, 100 times.
Yeah, anything like that on the outside of the envelope is a violation.
Yeah.
But how would you pressure them? I just want to know the wording.
You don't have to do anything. You send them a lawsuit.
No,
how would you want to pressure anybody to do anything? Either pay me or I'm suing you. End of story. That's it.
No, because my wife's name is in there. So first I should tell him that I'm going to sue him, and then if we don't settle, my wife is going to sue him again.
First of all,
you
can't speak for your wife, number one. Your wife has to send them a letter. You can't say a thing because you're threatening to do something you cannot do. You cannot sue them. Your wife can, but you can't. If your name's not on that envelope, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, both names are in the envelope. Both names.
Okay, then why do you keep saying your wife and your wife and your wife? Why don't you say we? We are going to sue you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's two people, so it's going to be $2,000, right?
Two people? Doesn't that exactly say two people? So there's two defendants or two plaintiffs, right? So when you say we are going to sue you, that means two people.
Okay.
So, again, why do you keep saying your wife? That's confusing us. You're going to confuse the attorneys. Listen, you sent us a letter. That's two people, my wife and I, and we are going to sue you.
No, it's only one letter with two names.
Look, do it. If you can't do it the way Jesse suggested, then do it this way. We each will sue you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You got it, Jeff. Why? You have to learn to say things to these attorneys if you want to pressure them in a fashion where it's very clear and concise. Not my wife and that. You've lost me. You lost me.
We, meaning my wife and I,
are going to sue you individually because we each have a private right of action against you.
Okay.
How do you want to handle it?
Okay.
Do you want to put up with two litigation? Because that's what we're going to do.
Right.
You see? That's how you would handle that. I have a private right of action. She has a private right. And you do. You absolutely do, buddy. Don't give it up. That's a couple $1,000. Don't give that up.
Yep.
But even better, before you do that, why don't you go see a real attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And go, hey, I have a class action lawsuit for you.
Class action. Hmm.
Because
notice Jesse said go see an attorney. He didn't say to retain an attorney.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And talk to him about a class action lawsuit against this law firm because every single person who's received an envelope in the last year, and I don't know what your state law might be, but at least for 1 year, is a class member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sense?
Think that might scare him a little bit? Think it might make them consider settling with you a little quicker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
You have a class action.
Okay. I'll do that. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
it. What about it? Yeah, you want pressure? There's pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's called strategy.
Yeah.
That's right.
All righty. That take care of you?
Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks for that.
All right. You bet. All right. And by the way, all of you guys that when we get done after you talk to us, please hit 1 on the keypad on your phone again. That will drop you off the queue. Those of you that we've talked to already, just hit the 1 key, and that will drop you out, and that will be helpful to us. We'd appreciate that. All right. Let's go to 708 up to the Chicago area, I believe. Well, wait a minute. We got... The board jumped just as I was doing that. So let's try again. 708. Go ahead.
Hi guys. Hi everybody. It's Rodney.
Hey Rodney.
Hey, Rodney.
How are you?
Real good. I think your first caller may have actually answered the question. I too just received two letters from Chase Bank regarding 1099C. So I did make your notes to look up 3949A for the IRS, and I'll research and Google that. So switching to B, I received finally a response from, as it says, Presidential Communications from Citibank regarding the letter they sent me taking my inquiries to a non-display. But in essence, it's garbage because they're basically stating in one sentence, it's viewable only to the consumer and not to any creditor and therefore should have no negative effect on your credit score. But the essence of my three letters to Citibank is, as of April of 2013, when I received the letter, I no longer see any inquiries. So if you have pulled any since April to current, please provide me with that information. Am I missing something here, or is it just more gobbledygook coming out of Citibank that they don't want to address the actual question?
Well, do you ever see anybody on the other side of the fence from us be evasive? Does the chicken have lips? Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just go ahead and file. I did talk to two of the credit reporting agencies, and they basically stated that it's up to Citibank if they care to report, but typically a bank as big as Citibank would, and they don't know why that they are not. So, and I'm waiting to hear back from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to see where they have gained anything. But I got a funny feeling that they probably received the same general letter. So I'm going to have to push forward with the actual lawsuit then. Because, again, I did get 3 inquiries deleted from Experian, and right after that, everything, the trade line, everything went away. And that's what kind of...
Almost like it shouldn't have been there in the first place, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, I see the inquiry's gone, but you even took it off the actual trade line itself. It's gone. It's disappeared. I've not seen it since April. So I have no clue how many inquiries they pulled, and in their letter they stated, we can't help you unless you give us a recent credit report within 30 days showing that we or anyone else has made an inquiry, which obviously I can't do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would never supply them with a credit report.
Yeah. Okay, so basically next step is just move forward with the lawsuit. If I have nothing else, I've got the proof of the 3 inquiries that have been disputed and removed, and then see if through discovery I can get them to give me more.
Right.
Okay. That was it.
Yep.
Just wanted to run it past you guys.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right. Please hit 1 on your keypad to pull yourself out of the queue, and then if you need to get in again later, we can do that. All right, let's go to 773. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, great. All right, well, here's the situation. Filed a lawsuit against a debt collector. They responded. I'm helping a friend of mine out, and they responded. I get kind of stunned because I did a couple of them, was very successful with it, and I never had to go to this point, but they just denied everything on the complaint, of course. And I just got kind of stumbled as to what the next step should be. Should I file I mean, they pretty much denied everything on the complaint. They denied the
fact. Well, that's standard procedure. Yeah, that's standard procedure. You don't expect them to admit everything up front, do you?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So I'm just thinking, so my next step, when I was looking at the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, this is in federal court, by the way, when it was filed. So my next step was just sit around basically to wait for the conference.
Are you the plaintiff?
I'm the plaintiff.
Okay. Is it not the plaintiff's responsibility to move a case forward when you file it within the court?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then it's your responsibility to start moving things forward.
So am I to contact the courts to let them know regarding the conference time or date or whatever?
You need to check your local rules, find out what local rules they may have regarding 26F conferences. Does the court issue an order governing proceedings in the jurisdiction I'm in? They actually issue an order governing proceedings, tell you what the deadline date is to have your 26F conference, and then what the deadline is for you to file your joint report. But that's just strictly the district that I'm in, and it varies across the country. But you as the plaintiff generally are responsible to move things forward, contact the defendants in regard to setting up the 26F conference.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I was kind of shocked. I guess I was kind of taken back when I saw on there they had a deputy put down there that that we have unclean hands.
Well, you got to remember, just common sense is going to tell you, you file a lawsuit against somebody, they aren't going to come back and say, oh, yeah, you're right, we give up, here's your money. No, they're going to argue it. They're going to tell you you're
right.
Full of crap. They're going to deny everything under the sun. That's the way this works. It's a ping-pong
right.
match. So now they answered. now it's your responsibility to move your case forward, to get things organized, to have the 26F conference, and then you have that, and then you file the joint report, and then the court issues scheduling order. Now, what I've just covered a little bit is all covered in the SummerSlam in the website, and that's where you should be going and learning this process and reviewing it, because you'll see examples of things and plenty of discussion in there. So you're going to want to go through the SummerSlam webinar series.
Okay.
That right. should bring you up right. to speed and give you a real good idea of exactly what you need to do.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
All righty.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Thank you. All right. Let's go to 612. Come on. There we go. Sometimes you got to click it twice. 612, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Donna. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Hi, Dave. I just have a question. I'm helping my friends and actually the person, the house that we live in. I have... I asked Jesse a question on the forum. What happened is we're in a non-judicial state, but we have a foreclosure that was done judicially that ordered the foreclosure sale. So they did the advertising. They had the sale, but what happened is they didn't record it. In Minnesota, the statute says that the sheriff's certificate has to be filed in the county within 20 days of the sale. It wasn't done. I don't think, we're not sure whether they know that it wasn't done or whether they're trying to sneak it in to the court without us knowing it. But anyway, the bottom line is it's not recorded. It's not done properly. I talked to Jesse on the forum. He said we have a FDCPA action, which we're going to take and do in federal court. But our question right now is we have to answer the court. There's a hearing for the county court to have the foreclosure sale sanctioned. And that would be February 7th. We just got served on Saturday in the mail. So we're not sure what kind of action to put in the county. We thought we would start with your recommendation, Jesse, of doing an enlargement of time. And then we don't know whether to do a simple answer, whether to do or to do a counterclaim, to ask for sanctions, just exactly what action to do
well,
there.
Well, you can't ask for sanctions because you're not an attorney.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
So I don't really know. I don't think you have any private remedy. Do you, Larry? I don't hear anything there that would be something that you can privately go after.
Okay. But so would we put just an answer in that they erred and didn't record it so the sale is null and void? Or
I don't know that. I don't know there's a private remedy. I don't know your state law. But I seriously doubt that they're going to allow you to reverse a sale because it was something that wasn't recorded. It
well,
could be
it's
laying
Minnesota
on his
statute.
Desk, not
it's
a,
they violated
you know
the
I mean?
Statute.
Yeah, but who's going to enforce that? Is it up to you to enforce that? Is it the state's attorney's office? Is it the judge? Who is it? Just because they did it, there's no private right of action, so a citizen can't just go in there and say, well, you violated a state statute, and I'm going to pretend I'm the state, and I'm going to sue you. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
But then to redeem a sheriff's certificate, they have to have the recording from the county.
Correct. Again, who's going to enforce all this? You see what
I don't
saying?
Know. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
you,
I do.
That's what
I
you
do.
Need to find out. Yeah, you're asking me, but I don't know. You need to go find that out yourself. I have no idea. That's just a weird one, you know?
Yeah. So where would I go where would I find that out? I don't even know. All I know is that they violated the state statute, and they're trying to get the county or the judge to sanction something that was they violated the law. So I don't know where to go to find out what our next step is.
I have no idea. Probably an attorney. That's the only thing I could think of.
Okay. I mean, why do they have these statutes if they don't have to follow them?
Listen, the President of the United States doesn't follow his own laws. Go ask Obama why he's a bum and doesn't do what he's supposed to do. I don't know. It's because we allow him to get away with it. That's why. I'm with you.
Yeah,
everybody that's on this call is aggravated because of things like this. We all understand your frustration, but it's the same response. You know, they get away with it because we don't enforce them. Go hire an attorney and start suing them, and all of a sudden you'll see how things straighten up. That's the best advice I can give you.
Okay,
talk
well,
to a property attorney there and see what they say. I don't know your state law. I have no idea what it is. I have no interest in knowing it. My point is, you should hire an attorney who does property law there and go after him that way, and he's going to tell you, hey, listen, this is what they've done or haven't done, and this is what your remedy is.
Okay.
Right? They're going to know more than I know, for sure.
Okay.
And I know you don't like the idea of talking to an attorney. We understand that. But sometimes it becomes a necessity depending on what the situation is that you've got.
Well, you know, that's one point. The second point is that we wouldn't be in foreclosure if we had extra money to pay for things. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll do more research. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And this guy has the same problem, David, that most people have. You don't have the money to get the remedy, right? Because the remedy probably lies within an attorney. Because we as citizens, as a person, don't have the right private right of action. We just don't have it. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So I hate to hear that, but it's the way it is.
All righty. Okay.
Oh, that was quiet, Dave.
Yeah. Jesse, what's the last three digits of the number you're in on?
6204. Why is it breaking up or something?
Well, no, I'm not seeing it on the board where I'm looking. But anyway, I just want to double check that because we've got a couple other things.
Oh no, I'm sorry, it's 2663.
There you go. That's what was throwing me off. Because I wasn't seeing that, and it's like, okay, where is Jesse on the board? Because I just need to identify this. All right, we're going to move on here to, let's see. And Donna, if you could hit 1 on your keypad on your phone, again, to remind everybody, once you're done, we've talked to you, please hit 1 on your keypad again, and that will drop you out of the queue. Let's go to 954. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good evening. I'm calling on the site, and I just want to know if creditors pull my files multiple times within the several months period, could I violate them each time they're pulling?
You said creditor, but is it the original creditor? Who is it?
No, it's just I guess bill collectors, maybe.
Well, debt collectors. Are you? You said you're not a member of the site.
I am as of today.
Oh well, congratulations and welcome
Thank
aboard.
You.
Yeah, but the debt collector. Well, Larry, I should let Larry answer this. I'm not gonna.
Okay.
How many times and how long? You said.
It's actually several that has done it. What they're doing, they're pulling it. They're pulling it, like, for instance, in the month of March, and then I have another one in, like, June and July. So I don't know.
Have you been through the material on the website on dealing with your credit reports, the FCRA?
I'm going through it now. Like,
okay.
It's a lot of material, so just.
Okay, well, actually, I think your questions are going to be answered once you've gone through that material. You know, you need to do the disputes and stuff of the information, but rather than us, you know, go over all of the various steps here, If you'll go through and complete your study in the FCRA section, Larry did a great job of explaining how to go about the dispute process and how you identify where the violations are and everything else. So I think maybe you're getting a little ahead of yourself on that. Because there's a lot of information there to tell you how to do it.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you have questions, once you go through it, generally what we're trying to do on the calls here is to help you, you know, maybe put the pieces of the puzzle together once you've covered them in the website, you know, like if you maybe have a special situation or something like that. But, yeah, the stuff that you're looking for, the answers are very thoroughly covered in the material in there. So if you you finish your study in that section, I think you get what you need.
All righty. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. And don't forget to hit 1 on your keypad to drop you out of the queue, please. Let's go to 770. Well, no, wait a minute. The screen moved again. I just love it. goodness. We're going to try 770. There we go. 770, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Are you sure? Are you ready?
I can hear you, so I think it must be true.
Okay.
That sounds like Sherry.
It is.
Well, surprise,
this is the most. This blog talk is so confusing. I can hear better on the computer, but it's off like a minute or two from the phone.
There's always a delay. Yeah, even on touch, there's a delay though. All of them have a delay.
Anyway, the question is, I was going over some. Let me see. It was an old webinar. The foreclosure it had to do with conditions precedent. I'm asking for, let's see, where to find something. And what you were talking about, Jesse, was the fees that they charge, like for serving people, and you said there was case law to go with it. Like, you know, they keep trying to serve all these tenants and these John Does, et cetera, et cetera. It was in the Saving Your Home when you started off in the very beginning.
Yeah. You need to look at here in Florida. That happened a lot.
All right. But you said it was on the site somewhere, and I don't know. I looked around, and I don't know how to research for it. Do you happen to know where it would be?
Yeah. Sure, Sherry. Did you try the search button up top? All you gotta do.
Yeah, but I didn't know what to put in there, and so I was.
That's a good one. What you should do is just look it up on Google. It takes 2 seconds. Because anything that would be there is probably something to do with David Stern that I got. Because he was the one who was doing it. Big time.
Okay, so the case law, what would I be looking for specifically? Just fees? I mean, excessive fees or.
The fees, I'd type in something like excessive fees for service of process during foreclosure.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
Okay, Sherry. Make it easier. Because if not, even our search, I'm sure it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Well, I put excessive fees in there, and I got basically the fees for the courts and stuff like that. And I thought, I know Jesse referred to it. Maybe he knew exactly where he put it. I don't know. So I'm going to ask.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Okay. And let's go to 609. Come on.
Hello?
There we go. 609. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello. I had a question. Like back in, went into foreclosure, the loan been sold probably 5, 6, 7 times. Home, Bank of America was the last one that had it that I knew of. They, you know, sent me letters and everything, and the house was underwater too. So I decided to just let the house go. So I filed for bankruptcy and added it in. And my bankruptcy was done the end of last year. So December, like 28th, was when I went to court and it was finalized as far as the bankruptcy go, and the property was supposed to be added into it. But now I've been getting probably over a dozen calls from a new company, Select Portfolio, maybe.
Yes,
and they've been sending me letters like, you know, saying we the new holders of the mortgage. So, you know, like I'm supposed to pay them now. And I haven't paid a mortgage in years. And since Bank of America had the loan, I never paid them either. I'm like, how is this company popping out of nowhere saying I owe them when I added this into my bankruptcy? So what I wanted to know was, should I still be trying to keep the house as far as going through the procedures that I've been hearing so far? I've only been listening for one day, really, so I haven't been able to go into the website and go through different things.
Listen, the decision is a financial decision. At the end of the day, that's up to you. Okay? Nobody can tell you what to do or not to do. Nobody wants to tell you what to do or not to do. At the end of the day, man, if you can live in the house and you're going to fight them and you might beat them, why not do it? You have to live somewhere, correct? You agree?
Right. But what I was wondering was, being as though I added, you know, the foreclosure into my bankruptcy, I'm like, I'm still the owner of the property, is what I'm thinking like.
You are. If it's part of the bankruptcy. What kind of bankruptcy did you do?
I think it was 13. It was the one where you don't have to pay anything back.
Oh, no, that's
chapter 7.
Oh, well, yeah, the 7 then. So, you know, all my credit cards and everything was added in, so I'm pretty much starting off fresh. But even though it's these different banks are still on my credit report for the same loan, Home Loan Services, Bank of America, for the same loan, but they, you know, and I called the creditors about that, and they said, you know, like, that's how it is. Like, you know, the loan was sold, so now they put it on there. So now I'm thinking, now that this new company got it, they may just pop up on my credit after a while, after they see I'm not paying them. So I was thinking maybe I should try to find out if my name is still on the deed as the owner and try to keep it somehow or something.
Actually, who did your bankruptcy?
Oh, man. That was a law firm in Philadelphia. I don't even remember the name of that company. But I got a law firm to do it, and, you know, they did everything. I just did it like that. And
yeah,
the company been calling me every day, so I'm wondering, like, and they asked me, like, do you still stay in the house, this and that? And so, you know, I was like, man, I don't even know if I should tell them if I'm still in the house or not. But I kind of was really waiting for Bank of America to just, you know, send a letter saying, you know, you got 30 days to leave. But they never did anything like that. They just sold the loan out of nowhere.
Unless you can look at your bankruptcy and see if those two were charged off, gone in bankruptcy, I don't know what to tell you, man. And you don't even know who did it for you. So you really need to go back to them.
To who?
To the company who did your bankruptcy and ask them about these loans.
Oh, well, yeah. If when I look on my credit, it shows it, you know, it's charged off.
Oh, it is discharged.
Yes. It shows it, you know, chapter.
Then you probably don't own anything unless it's your main home. Did you keep your main home, or is that what you discharge?
Yeah, that was the last home that I had. Yeah. That was the main home.
Yeah, I don't know. You really have to talk to those guys.
So So I would have to talk to the firm that did my bankruptcy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See where you are under that. I mean, who would know more about what your status is at this point than them?
Well, I know for sure that it shows up on my credit as a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, you know, a charge-off. I do know that because I've been looking at my credit recently.
Yeah, but that's just reporting of something. That's not an indication of legal status of anything. That's what you want to understand.
Okay.
You know, don't attribute the legal status of something just to, because you see it in a credit report. For one thing, credit reports are they don't report legal status. They report credit-related information, or at least that's what they're supposed to be doing. And they have a very high error rate, so don't depend on what you see there.
So what about far as this new company that's been calling me?
Well, here again, find out.
Yeah, they're done. They're seriously in trouble.
You
can make serious money with that because they're not supposed to be done. See, it's done. And they've been calling my cell phone, too. But I never, you know.
Yeah, you should be listening. You should be joining as a member. You got a gold mine sitting there already.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just found out yesterday, so that was my intentions to join. I just, you know, wanted to ask about the house thing to see if, you know, it was possible I could still keep the house. But I guess if I go to see...
Are you in it right now?
Yeah, I still have my stuff there, but technically I don't stay there, but I do have stuff there. So, because I was planning on just letting the house go because it was underwater. I mean, I paid $200,000, and
I'm with you on that. It's a good listen. A lot of people don't realize that's a good business decision. That's what it's all about right now.
So
yeah,
what
why
about
pay more for something than it's worth? Why hang on to that?
Yeah, that's why I was letting it go. And now this new company sent me a letter recently, a couple of days ago, saying I owe $300,000+.
Yeah.
So
well,
like,
they
I never
have a,
heard of this company before.
They're a debt collection company. But like Jesse said, if you'll get into the website and start studying the FDCPA, you know, taking their money so that you understand where these violations are occurring with them trying to collect from you, and when they're calling you on a cell phone, study the TCPA takedown, then you'll learn how to identify. First of all, you got to learn the statutes. You have to understand what they mean, but then you have to learn to identify the violations when they occur based on the behavior of these people. And then the most important thing after that is you need to learn how to use the court properly to enforce those violations that you have against them. Take them to court if necessary. You know, give them a chance to settle with you beforehand, but if they don't, then be ready to take them to court. And it's going to take you a little bit of time to study and learn how to do this. You're not going to get it in 2 or 3 days. And don't try and eat the elephant in one bite. You eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Okay.
But getting in the website is where you're going to get the information you need. You know, what you'll get is scattered answers to some scattered questions here. This is to help put pieces of the puzzle together after you have seen the pieces and fairly well understand them, but maybe have some questions on that. That's the purpose of these calls. So, time to get in there.
Okay.
Get to work.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the website for sure. But my last question is, as far as them calling, should I answer or just don't answer at all?
Again, that's up to you. You can answer and play games with them or, you know, not answer and don't. Just log all your calls. Make sure you keep track of all the calls.
What are you going to say if you answer?
Well, I answered one time and they just were saying, and I was like, who is this? I don't know who this is. They said, oh, where's so-and-so?
mortgage company, we booked the loan. You didn't get a letter, you know, from us stating that. So, you know, you'll be dealing with us from here out and asking me, you know, questions about the house. Dude, you still staying in the house, this, that, the other? But I just hung up. I didn't even answer that. I just
okay.
hung up.
Do you remember when you, when you told him to stop calling you?
I never told him to stop calling. I didn't do that.
Let me try that again. Do you remember when you told them to stop calling you?
No, I never told them that.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. I got it.
So you did remember. Wow. Okay.
I will. They might have heard you.
Sometimes they don't hear you. They don't listen.
Okay. I got you.
All right.
All right. Take care of your questions.
Yes, I'll go on the website and go from there.
All right, real good. Yeah, that's your place to start. You got some studying to do, and then as you see those pieces of the puzzle and you have questions, then come back on the calls and we'll help you fit that stuff together. But that way you'll have the basic information to be working with. That's the best way to do things. So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. And a reminder, please hit 1 on the keypad on your phone to take yourself out of the queue there. That'll help. And we are going to go to, I'm going to try and go to before the screen moves. Let's go to 508. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing real well. I've been a happy member for about a year now.
Great.
Yeah, and very quickly I took the approach when I started it, I sort of tailored the information in the program to my initial needs, which was to clean up my credit and to rebuild my credit and, if need be, go after some of these collectors. And a lot of it had to do with just my time available because I'm self-employed, so I didn't really, you know, sometimes building these suits takes some time, even though all the material is there for you to do it. So I had a situation, a lot of these debt collectors have just given up with me because they know they're not going anywhere, and I had a situation where one of them decided to pursue a small claims back in the spring. And fast forward a number of months in December, we had I think I spoke to one of you guys, but I screwed up. I didn't go after them on a federal lawsuit, and I should have. But after speaking with the head of the firm, and really about 11 calls, them going back and forth with me, they really gave up, and we agreed that I would drop my claims against them, who were debt collector number two, and debt collector number one, because they sort of work together, and this bank, and in return, I would, you know, I drop all my said violations. They'll drop the case with prejudice. We move on, and that would be it. And this is before the holidays, and they said, "Well, we'll move up the court." They immediately moved up the court date for 2 months, and they said they'll have a settlement letter to me in a couple weeks. We'll sign it, and that would be it. Well, it never came. I was away on business, came back, still the number came, so finally I sent them a letter, no response. I called them today, and the son of the head of the firm basically said that they no longer are on the case, that the bank pulled the file once, an agreement was, because I verbally agreed with the debt collector on a deal. And I guess he claimed that once that was supposedly, once that happened, because the collector said that he had spoken to the client and they agreed to the deal, and then when I called him, he said their client, you know, has pulled the file. They no longer involved in the case, and it's now with debt collector number three. And they had nothing to do with it anymore.
You're saying debt collector, but actually you're saying attorney that is representing them in the case. That's the reality of it, is it not?
Yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, because this is on the forum. I addressed some stuff back to you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they're no longer involved in the case. It's now with a third firm. And I have not received any letters from this firm. I've not received any calls from this firm. I wasn't even, you know, he said you hadn't heard from them. I said no. He's like, we should probably get in touch with them then because we're no longer involved. My concern was they had originally moved up the hearing from December to February 10th. So I have a hearing with this, and I have not gotten a letter from the court saying there's no longer a hearing with this debt collector slash attorney number two representing the bank. So we're no longer involved in the case, and I've not heard from this mystery third party. Do I have grounds to reach out to the court and request a motion to dismiss?
What grounds would you have to dismiss?
Well, who am I dealing with?
You got to understand, you were sued by Discover. The attorney that's representing them can change.
Okay.
Discover is the plaintiff.
Okay, so they have to tell you?
No, they just show up in court.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
well, they should. They have to notify you, so you know what attorney's on. Help.
Well, they should.
Portal,
yeah.
Right now.
There's lots of things they should do. They don't do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't throw away my mail. I look at all my mail. All my telephone calls are logged on my phone, on the net. I didn't miss any calls from this firm.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem, as I indicated when I answered you on the forum, is that, you know, I know you've been busy, but when you've got legal issues, you can't ignore them. You have to follow up on them, because if you don't, these are the kind of situations you run into.
So I have a three-week window here. What do I do?
I have time.
I mean, so.
Well, you tried contacting the new law firm today, right?
I have not spoken to the new law firm. I only spoke to number two.
Okay.
This was this afternoon, so it happened pretty quick.
Okay. Well, tomorrow morning, I think I'd be on the phone with the new law firm and say, look.
Yeah.
There was an agreement of settlement before to do this and this and this and this. Are we going to follow that through, or what are we doing here?
Right.
You know, you got to do a PDQ update.
By the way, I can handle
exactly
these guys. The fact that I spend so much time listening to your calls, I can handle them on the call. I mean, they get me on the phone, they hang up on me because they get so mad at me. So
yeah.
I'm on an uncomfortable call on them, so I'll call them first thing in the morning. So I just say, look, we had a verbal deal with the head of firm number two. We had an agreement.
I would tell them, you know, give them the name. I was dealing with such and such law firm on this. We had reached a tentative settlement of this matter, which would be this happening, and this happening. Is that still the case? Are we going to wrap this up? In other words, you know, the way I'm going to approach it is I'm going to suggest, say, look, we already have this. Is that what we're going to do? In other words, instead of saying, well, what are we going to do? I'm going to put a bug in their ear. Hey, we already had an agreement. Let's just finish it.
And then
see what they've got to
anything, say. If they, now, let's assume they come back with something that's not a positive answer. They say, no, you know, we're going to go to court, or you owe us, you are a client, the money. This was referred to us because, for whatever reason.
Well, then you're going to have to prepare to defend the trial.
Does this?
I mean, you've gotten down to a short period of time here. You're not going to be in a position to do any discovery or anything else in this shorter period of time. If you're in small claims, some small claims courts allow discovery, some don't. Do you happen to know whether yours does or not? It could be a moot point because you're coming up to trial date, PDQ, right?
Yeah, February 10th.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, like I say, this is the hole that you get into when you don't deal with stuff, you know, and keep up with things. But on yours, the first place to start logically to me would be to contact them in the morning and say, look, hey, I thought this was arranged. They were supposed to send me a settlement agreement. I never got it. Can you see about following through? If you don't have the terms that had been agreed to, I can forward that information to you via email so that we can see about getting this resolved and then see what their reaction is.
Does this third firm have to play the do they have to validate anything, or can they just say, you know,
no,
pay
you have to understand. You have to understand. You're not dealing with the law firm. You're dealing with Discover. Discover is the plaintiff in the case. It's just a matter of who is representing them this week.
You're thinking
that you're dealing with a different entity that is trying to collect the debt, and that's not the case. The entity that's trying to collect, is, as far as the court is concerned, is Discover.
Yeah, and they can make any change. It's like you. If you have a disagreement with your attorney, why can't you fire him and hire another one? Does that change your case? It doesn't change anything. You just fired one and hired another.
Right. That's what's going on here.
They are not willing to discuss the verbal agreement that I had with the previous attorney,
they don't have any obligation to be truthful with you.
But so do I have a window here to fall through with my threats, which is, you know, which originally was suing you in federal court? Because that's really
a suit against them in federal court anytime you so choose, as long as you have a legitimate cause of action.
Yeah.
You can do that tomorrow morning.
So this third firm, I can file.
You have to understand they are just representing the Discover. You're not dealing with them as a law firm. You're dealing with them as an agent for Discover. What you have to understand is they're representing the client now. It's not like they're trying to collect from you and violating it before the suit was filed. They're simply coming in and representing Discover in the case.
Right, so with the first two.
Well, I don't think the first two is something you got to worry about here. You need to worry about your trial.
Correct.
I mean, if you don't deal with things properly by the trial date, you know, you may end up with a judgment against you. Yeah, John, you had some input there?
Well, yeah, I was just wondering if he's filed anything in on his case. Has he filed in a sworn denial? Has he filed in anything else like that, a notice of dispute? Did he send the other two law firms a debt validation letter?
Of course.
Has he sent this one a debt validation letter? I'd send one first thing in the morning. And, you know, you can think about making threats, or you can just sue him and figure it out later. Because if you're probably going to get more money out of all of them through suing them.
Correct.
Most of us would do.
So the thing is, I have not heard from the third. So
who cares?
It doesn't matter.
You were told by this other firm that it's been taken over by this one. Sooner or later, they're going to pop up in court, depending on what your local rules and your state rules have to say. So if it was me, I'd already type up a debt validation letter and mail it off certified return receipt first thing in the morning. And see what happens next, you know? And if nothing else, you have a federal lawsuit prepared, ready in hand when you go to that hearing. Just before the hearing, you meet with the attorney and say, you know, I had a deal with this other firm, and they disappeared, and this is your last chance, or, you know, I'm filing this when I leave here.
Good. I'm not uncomfortable if the court's the next town over, it's a couple hours. I'm not uncomfortable having to show up because they have to prove the debt is that, you know. I don't feel confident they'll walk out with a judgment. I just don't want to go through the hassle of having to go through.
Because you never know because the state courts, Mickey Mouse courts, and sometimes the judge just slams things through.
Right.
You don't know. Have you been in there? Have you seen the judge? Have you seen? You walk into one of these courtrooms if you've never been there, and it's got a gallery full of people in the same boat that you're in, and
right.
some of them are sitting there ready to piss their pants because they're so scared and they can't even open their mouths, and then other people open their mouths and argue, but if they don't say the right things, they just dig themselves a deeper pit. And either way, the judge slams it through because he's got a whole stack of these things. So you kind of you handle it before you go in there. That's why Dave was asking you, you know, about discovery, and I was asking you if you filed anything in there. It makes some hurdles that they have to overcome to get that judgment against you. But if you think that you're going to walk in there cold turkey without studying and argue with the judge, it doesn't always work. You, if nothing else, you could maybe buy yourself some time and kick it down the road, but the judge might not even buy that. So.
No question. How would I kick it down the road if I tried that route?
Just tell them that you know they switch firms. You understood you had an agreement. You've been out of town on business, and that since the agreement has fallen by the wayside, that you want more time. You want to enlarge the time and have discovery.
Now I do that before the hearing, or I do that at the hearing.
You want to, when you file stuff, you need to file stuff in the court, file whatever motion you want to have heard, and then talk to the judicial assistant for the judge and get a date and a time for a hearing, and you got to notice the other party that there's going to be a hearing. You have to not only put in a move like, you know, judge, I want to do A and B, and that's your motion, and then you got to motion the court to hear it, because unless you tell the court you want to hear it, the court doesn't look at it.
Yeah, you got.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, what you just said, which was we had an agreement. This is now moved on to.
No, you're not going to say that. You're just gonna motion to enlarge the time or to help me, Dave.
Well, you get a continuance on things because of
right,
your
do I let them know before I show up? Do I do it like this week, next week?
Dave, don't say another word.
Yeah.
Listen, if you cannot wait till John or Dave answer your question, I'm going to mute you completely. I'm not going to let them answer it. Have enough common courtesy to let them finish a sentence before you keep jumping in. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You draft your motion, you file it with the court, you contact the judicial assistant, you get a time for a hearing, you tell her you need to hear it, need to get it heard quickly. It'll probably come on the uniform motion calendar, which is one or two mornings of the week. The judge hears general things that take less than 5 minutes, and you notice the other side that there's going to be a hearing. And that's
now, the one fly in the ointment of what you just covered, John, is he's in small claims court. Maybe that's a whole different format where you can't do that. You need to check your rules and talk to the court.
Well, you need to get
automatically
on with
assume that's it.
Yeah,
you
know, let me
get on this tomorrow.
Don't expect to do the hearing. John, let me give him my 2 cents. Dave, I've been listening to everything he said, you said, and you said, John. At the end of the day, when you go to small claims and they set a trial, you're going to trial. You're just going to have to move for a continuance. It's as simple as that. You just tell the judge exactly what John said. Listen, I've been out of town business. They keep switching firms on me. I can't keep up with these people. I need a continuance on this. Is that fair enough?
That's fair enough, yeah.
Fair enough.
So, and by the way, sorry for the talking over. I'm actually on an internet phone and I'm getting an echo, so it's partially my fault.
All I'm trying to do is make sure you get a clear answer.
Yeah, no, I have a little bit of an echo, I'm hearing the answer, and I know that I'm in this position because I didn't file a suit against them months ago. If I did that, then I wouldn't.
Chances are you wouldn't be where you are.
Correct.
Is the bottom.
So now I'm having to do double the work to overcome this. But so what I've gotten out of this is tomorrow morning I'm going to contact this attorney group number 3. I'm going to first thing in the morning is I'm going to draft a debt validation letter. I'm going to send it certified, and then I'm going to contact them on the phone and assume that we have a deal and ask them, you know, how we can wrap this up, see what they say.
Sounds like a good plan.
So
it does. It really does.
All right, guys. I know you guys have
okay.
helped me a lot on the boards. I really appreciate your time here tonight.
Okay. All right. Real good.
Man. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. All right. Let's and please don't forget to hit one on your keypad to pop yourself out of the queue, if you would. Let's go to I'm going to double check back here. Let's try 407. 407, you've been unmuted. Do you have a question for us? Area code 407. Evidently not. We're not hearing anything there, so we're going to check area code 321. You've been unmuted. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Great. Thank you. This is James. I'm calling from Winter Park, Florida. I wanted to – I just heard about you from Belva, and what I wanted to ask is that I was foreclosed in 2008. We used bankruptcy 7 and also 13 at the very beginning. 7 allowed me to discharge the mortgage. We also turned around and did a motion on to be able to tell the courts that the mortgage company, which is Aurora Loan Services, securitized the mortgage. They were also with MERS, and I told them there was no note, and I also said that the attorney firm, Marshall Watson, which is now Choice Law Firm, also was closed down because of doing the same thing I said it in my motion. And so far, I am under Chapter 13 now. We just did the mediation. We were hoping to maybe use some of the motion stuff against Aurora, or now as Nation Star. But now I'm finding out from my attorney that the all this stuff, even though it's true and it's real, the judges in Seminole County, Orange County, doesn't really care anymore, and they want all these cases closed, no matter what, there's fraud or not. I'm wondering, what is your opinion about all this?
It's tough. It's tough because your attorney's correct on that. The reality is very simple. Your attorney is very correct. These guys are trying to slam these cases out like they were stamping out, you know, hotcakes, man. It's ridiculous. The problem I see is, or not the problem, the advantage I see to you is your bankruptcy. You're still in a bankruptcy, correct?
That's right. We should hopefully be there in a total of three years, depending on what the mediation is going to be.
Okay. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. What I'm gonna say. I don't need all the other details.
Okay.
Listen carefully. You can talk to the attorney, because what happens is the judges now in Seminole County have no jurisdiction over your case in the bankruptcy.
That's correct.
So why would your attorney? Here's the question I have for you. I want you to think about this yourself, because this is part of why we don't like working with attorneys. And if we work with an attorney as a pro se litigant, it's our responsibility to know more than him about our own case. Okay? Think about what I'm going to ask you and why you immediately didn't respond to him this way. If the Seminole County has no more jurisdiction over the case, that means that judge is never going to see this bogus assignment, never going to see any of this information. It's now before a federal judge. And if we do some kind of adversarial proceeding against this and say this is an unsecured debt because of X, Y, and Z, there's been no assignments as per X, Y, and Z, there's no note, there's this fraud, that fraud, and the other fraud, why couldn't that judge eliminate it?
We were hoping that because, see, the motion was filed before in 2011 before we did this Chapter 13. And at the time we filed it, Pam Bundy closed down Choice for Marsha Watson because of fraud. So
right.
We didn't hear anything when they were coming after us. So the motion was in the court sitting there all this time. Then when 2013 came around, Choice Law Firm opened up under their new name. Then all the we didn't know this before, but at the beginning of the year, all the attorney firms and the courts were running out of money and having problems, and they came together and agreed that we will drop all motions and everything else and close these things up no matter what. And we didn't know this. So they completely denied our motion, even though it is true in fact, and I gave them case law, which came from the federal windows, from the attorney, from everybody. They didn't care.
And how you responded to me? I asked you about the federal.
Oh, Jesse, right, Jesse, your audio is like you're on the other side of the room.
Okay.
Is that better, Dave?
Yeah, we're better there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I asked you about a state issue, or a federal issue, and you jump right back to the state. Who cares about the state anymore?
We have given the motion that I filed in the state, and it was rejected in county, federal county courts, and it was rejected, and the information is in there to prove that. Now, I did give that motion back to my attorney today, or before the mediation last week, and I gave it to him. I said, is this something we can give to the federal judge? And
no,
he told me no.
Of course not. So, again, I ask you, what does anything that's happened down there matter now? You have fresh meat before you right there.
Right. Now, how can
so
my
– So, are you worried about motions being denied and this motion and that? Who cares? You're in a Chapter 13. You're going to file that as an adversary or as a non-secured debt. They're going to come in and try to validate that debt, and you're going to fight them on it. What's the issue? I don't get it.
I told her that we can file it. If she says we can't, the only way
you
we can file it if
not file it. That's an adversarial proceeding in a federal court. It has nothing to do with your state motions.
Oh, I see.
The federal court will not even look at a state motion. One has nothing to do with the other. That's dead down there. It's gone. It's history. You got fresh stuff right before you. Why not utilize it?
So you're saying that my attorney can retitle it or rechange it and maybe put it in?
No, you have to file an adversarial proceeding against that creditor. I've said it 40 times.
Okay.
It's not new motions. It's not anything. It's a whole new proceeding.
Okay.
No, I keep hearing her in her background, whoever it is asking you the same damn thing over and over. No, it's an adversarial proceeding in a bankruptcy. It has nothing to do with the state case.
Good.
All you do is present your information to the judge, all this evidence. You present that at your adversarial through the adversarial proceeding. It's not easy, but it can be done. Your attorney doesn't have enough gall to get out there and get her done. Who is the dang attorney that's so good with that out of South Carolina?
Out of Seminole County, Winter Park, that'd be Mr.
No.
No.
Oh, Dave,
you
okay.
Don't mean North Carolina?
Whoever, Jeff, North Carolina.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't think of it.
I want to say Grange, but that isn't right.
No, that ain't close.
Hold on.
I got a brain cramp on it.
He's a friend of Lyle's.
Nile, yeah.
Nile.
Come on, somebody else knows. John, you don't
I got
know
it right
this?
On the tip of my tongue. I just can't spit it out. I'm sorry. Gardner?
Mac Gardner.
There
you go.
Gardner.
Told you it was right there.
Go look it up online and tell your attorney to go see it. Mac Gardner, just like it sounds. Gardner.
Okay, Mac, M-A-X?
Yeah.
Yes.
Gardner, okay. And he is a attorney in North Carolina?
Yes.
So he does this.
He's got a boot camp.
Yeah, and he's trained a bunch of Florida attorneys in these adversarial proceedings. So.
Nice.
Yeah, attorney, of course, and then go from there.
Yeah, we'll see what we could do because we do not know what the mediation is going to come forward with. We're just trying to stay in this house as long as I can to give me time to get back to work again.
There you go.
Alrighty, that take care of you then?
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I can understand the process. And I know that, yes, the attorney's right, but maybe there's something else we can maybe do.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Alrighty. Thank you very much. Okay. Let's – and please hit the one key on your phone to take you out of the queue. Let's go to 424. 424, you have been unmuted. Go ahead, please. Area code 424. Do you have a question for us? Evidently not. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to 305. 305, you've been
hey
unmuted.
Guys.
Go ahead, please. Good evening.
Jonathan of Miami. How's everything going?
Yeah, we got Florida on the line tonight, big time.
Yeah, I just wanted to start off with a little bit of good news. I've been a member for a few months. I've been working on a case here, learned a lot, been studying nonstop. Anyone who's listening, you really got to get into the site and just start studying your butts off because there's money out there, and it's not that as hard as you would think it is. Case in point, in July I received a letter from a quote-unquote new servicer. Came out of left field. I said, okay, this looks great. Something of validation. They sent me some interesting information that made no sense. I sent them an intent to sue. They sent me same information again. A few weeks later, I filed a federal lawsuit, FDCPA, FCC, FCCA, Florida Consumer Protection, FCCPA, and the TCPA. Unfortunately, I didn't get too many calls from them, so it's not a huge amount, but I sued them for $30,000. They hired the attorneys. 2 days later, I got a settlement for $1,500, which, you know, it's cool, but it's kind of like a slap in the face. So I wrote back on Saturday and basically just quoted some of the damages, just only the statutory damages, and I urged them to reconsider their offer. I'm thinking something around, you know, the $13,000 level. So I just kind of wanted to share that story and let everybody know that it's really not that difficult if you take the time out and study, and the money's out there.
True. It's
especially
very true.
On the TCPA stuff.
You're right.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share that real quick. Just take the time out to study, and it's there.
All right. Very good.
That's
thank you.
Much it.
Appreciate it.
No problem. You guys take care. I'll be on the call.
All righty. Yeah, it's, you know, you get out there and learn what you need to learn, and this will pay you back. This pays you back for the effort you put in. You know, there's no free ride, but if you work, you can do quite well with it. All right, let's go to 978. You've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Good evening.
Ilya from Ipswich, Massachusetts. And, it's my first time calling in. Sorry for my
Welcome.
English. It's not great, but I'll try to do my best.
Thank you.
This question is for Jesse. I wrote the story in the forum, but I have a little more, you know, need to understand the whole thing. Countrywide was bought from Bank of America. Bank of America had my loan since 2008. They had a BAC servicer. Last year in May, they transferred the loan. It's not much left because over the years I paid extra. But they transferred the loan to Green Tree. Now, I sent them in May last year a QWR, which now I understand was not smart, because they are just a debt collector. And they answered with like a copy of the notes, some like not smart thing. But I got scared and I started paying them. Recently, I called Bank of America, and today I really recorded the call. The guy was okay to record it after, you know, 30 seconds, pause. And I asked him again, his words, I have the conversation on my computer. His words were like this. He said, we were the servicer for investor. And he didn't know who the investor was. I asked him, who is the servicer? He said, I don't know. And I said, now, Green Tree that has the loan or the servicing, is it paying you? He said, no. And I said, how the transfer happened? He said, we sold the account. I asked him, can they return the account back? He said, no, that never happens. So that was the conversation in general. And I'm thinking to send tomorrow a validation of debt and debt dispute to Green Tree. And I attacked their account and disputed through the credit agencies. They haven't removed it yet. So I'm thinking, what's the next step? Can I do like the other guy just did? If they send me another bill, can I sue them for FDCPA?
Listen, without knowing all the facts, the history, everything that's happened, it's impossible for one of us here to make any kind of sensible determination. A lot of noise here.
Yeah, we're getting a bunch of noise. If somebody
mute
got
out.
Some...
That's our problem with them out.
Yeah, let's...
Yeah, it's gone. So without being able to see all the documentations, the language within the letters, if there's any threats, you know, do they have the mini Miranda? Did they give you some kind of notification of the assignment as they're required? You know, it's hard to make a determination. But at the end of the day, keeping in mind that they are a debt collector, your options are just literally limitless as what kind of remedy you have out there. There's several avenues. But again, you have to get into that website. You're going to have to study the different avenues. Go to dealing with your servicer, when your servicer is a debt collector. Those are all tutorials that I've put together that clearly explain the different scenarios, where and how you can go after them, and for under what grounds. So that'd be my best advice. Again, as you just heard the other member caller say, study, study, study. Nothing can replace studying. Nothing. So, again, I'll urge you, go to those two and watch the tutorials, read through that section, and learn. I sued my servicer, and I won. And he was the alleged original creditor, but the Florida law is applicable to that person here, so it doesn't matter. They lost, and you know I plan on beating them overall for the foreclosure. But again, I can't make a determination. The next step deals. Well, I hate those questions because they're so open ended on this particular subject matter. That really depends on your situation and whatever sets of facts or circumstances that have occurred with you in particular, because mine is different, Dave's is different, John's would be different. They're all different. So you have to look at what's occurred, right? And then from there assess which direction you're going to go. And really, that is the best advice I can give you. So.
All righty. Well, we're going to move on to our next caller. All we got is a bunch of ones, so I'm guessing it's an internet caller. So let's go to
wow,
that caller. You've been unmuted. We're going to 1111111111. Hello, you are just unmuted. Do you have a question for us? Sounds like somebody's clunking around there. Well, they're not answering, so we're going to go to 336. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is David Oliver. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, David.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. I've been a member 2 months, maybe 5 weeks. It seems like it's been forever just listening and going through the information.
There's a lot.
I appreciate all the information. It's really been a almost like a breath of fresh air. The last 2 years have been really hard here financially, and I really appreciate all that you guys do.
Well, we're here, man.
I am next week doing the Protecting Your Money, and I've got the plaintiff going to get a judgment. The hearing's on the 29th. I have a lawyer that has sent me several letters on a Discover card, and when I sent a validation letter approximately a month ago, he just came back and said Discover Bank CODB Servicing Corporation as the creditor. So I'm assuming this is a lawyer that was hired by Discover. Am I assuming right?
Well, you got to be careful making assumptions. That
okay.
might not necessarily be the case.
Okay. Well,
that's what it may appear to be on the surface.
Well, the letter states that if I'm to make a payment, that I am to it says not to send it to Discover, but to send it to, if this account is not disputed, send your payment payable to Discover Bank for the balance due to our office. Do not mail your payments to Discover Bank. And so I'm assuming now the letter of the 16th of December, it, at the bottom it states this communication is from a debt collector. So it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell whether the attorney's the attorney alleges that they have been retained by Discover.
Right.
Okay.
That's so, typical.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's typical.
You know how to get
now,
the answer? Can I give you the easiest so we can go on to another caller? I'll give you
sure.
the easiest answer. You call Discover and ask them, do I owe you anything?
Okay.
That's
okay.
it. And then they're going to say yes or no. Your account
okay.
been sold to, right, or sold or whatever. That's literally typically how our members all find out. And it, believe it or not, there's plenty of members who made the call. And the creditor goes, no, the account was charged off and sold.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden, hey, the attorney's lying.
Okay.
Right?
But
all right,
you when you
good.
Got that letter from the attorney, did you send him a debt validation letter?
Right away. In fact,
okay.
I had just joined, but I'm part of also John's program. You know, I'm part of his program, and so I knew to do that. I've gone through the last 3 or 4 months, gone through and protecting my money. So I've been dealing with that process, and we're almost finished with that.
You're making yourself judgment proof.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, that's almost done. It'll be done the 29th. I have one other question. I've been studying the TCPA, and I do have phone calls on both my cell phone number, home number. I have got collection agencies calling me, and I'm doing everything that the website, your website, says to do. I have one question, and I'm not sure how to deal with this. I had called a relative of mine, which is a very close relative, and told her that she may get calls, and if she does, please write down the information. Well, I didn't think that would ever happen, but the next day she gets a call from some guy looking for me at her place. And I just spoke with her today. She has recorded and documented, and they've left recorded messages on her phone machine. Documented 8 calls since last week.
Is it a landline or a cell phone?
It's a landline, and it's a landline. Now, she has some calls on her cell phone, which she is coming over this coming Friday. I've got to go through her cell phone. Apparently, she has calls on her cell phone as well. But my question is, if she was to proceed with some kind of action against these people, would she be the one that would be bringing the lawsuit, or would I be? Because they're looking
no,
for me.
Yeah, what, it doesn't matter who they're looking for. If they're calling the cell phone, it's the person that receives the call.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Now, maybe she's let's just say if she was holding my cell phone, but she received the call, the violation is hers.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So if they're calling the home number after she's told them not to call, and they keep repeatedly calling for me at her number,
they're allowed to call you one or call her one time looking for you.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, they've called her seven times.
Then it becomes an FDCP violation for you, FDCPA.
For me or her?
For you. You can sue because they've called her more than once. They can call once for locational information. And if she's told them not to call, she's got violations against them, but you've got a violation against them for FDCPA.
Okay. All right.
Right.
And if they've disclosed information, it just bolsters, you know, if they say, well, he owes, oh, well, you know, can you get your, I forget what she is, your mother or whatever. If you can get him to call, he owes us money and we need to talk to him and we don't want to take him. Well, if they've disclosed information, you've got more violations. You only get to collect one time, but it just bolsters your complaint.
Well, they told her, because she asked them how they got her number, and they told her that some story about them being able to see what numbers I call. And
bunch of lies.
I don't know. It just seemed odd. Anyways.
No. Well, can you say lie? Can you say lie?
Yeah.
So.
We have your phone, lady. So, you know.
Yeah. It's anyways, I appreciate your help and your encouragement, and I'm just going to keep studying. I ordered a book that you guys recommended. I'm expecting to get it I think it's supposed to be coming in a couple of days here, just to get more study.
Which one is it?
You know, it was $210. So it was
the NCLC
book. Yeah.
The NCLC.
Okay.
Good books. Yep. Good books.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate your help.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Okay. We're going to keep going here. We probably take about two more calls before we wrap it up tonight. Let's go to 424. Let's try and see if there's somebody there again. We tried that before. 424.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go
Hello?
Ahead.
All right. Yeah, I fooled around and had my phone muted before and it took too long getting it unmuted. But this is that guy in Las Vegas. Helping a friend of mine, another friend of mine, who had a credit pull back in 2011. And I was thinking we could go back 4 years or 2 years from the time discovered or something to that effect.
It's 2 years from date of discovery or within the last 5 years.
Okay, so we're in right there. The NCO sent him we put in a lawsuit or intent to sue in reference to that. NCO responded with some, the lawyer responded with some cases, and I read them, it had something to do with judgment. Well, this wasn't a judgment, and so as I'm reading through it, they sent a ledger showing the account that he had with the telephone company. But the killing thing about it is they showed cell phone calls on it. So now we're going to have to amend it to include those cell phone calls, and they made four calls to his father, two calls to his father, and two calls to his wife's mother. So listening to that last call, I know we can do the TCPA for at least two, but what about the parents that were called twice? Can he just fill one time each? Can we, you know, claim TCPA?
Now, you're talking about they were calling him for location information, the parents?
They called, right, twice.
They can only call somebody for location information one time.
Right. Well, they did two calls to the house, one to the cell phone, one to the house on his wife's side, and one to the cell phone and one to the house on his side, the husband's side.
That may fall in. The court may look at that possibly as just one call to each number. So that
okay,
would be within the regulations.
All right. So then
but,
I'm just looking
the
at
calls. Two. Yeah, but the calls to the cell phone, if it was made with an automated dialer, and they didn't have their express consent, that'd be a violation.
That's right, and that's exactly what they were. Now that was in 2011, so I'm still within time, right?
Statute of limitations on TCPA is 4 years.
Right. Okay. So we're good there. All right. So looking at three things then: two TCPA, and then the credit pool. So either way, we got to burn them on at least twice.
Yeah. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's starting to get a lot like Christmas.
It's awful early in the year to celebrate Christmas, but you'll take Christmas in January or February anytime, right?
Hey, this is Vegas, baby.
Yeah. Are you sure it stays in Vegas?
Whatever happens in Vegas never happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right. Well, I take care of you. We got to see if we can get another caller in here.
Thank you very much. I'm out.
All righty. Thanks much. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go back here. I think we got 708 again.
Hello?
708, you were unmuted.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Rodney. How are you doing? Just have another quick question for you. Where did it go? Okay, right here. My daughter, accounts receivable management, they've been calling my home now, looking at my call log. We're up to 25 calls, not counting last week, so probably 30 calls to my home, even though I did update my outbound message stating for emergencies only, and I gave my daughter's cell phone. They have still never called her. The last maybe 10 to 15 calls have all been automated calls. When I pick up, it just hangs up. And I have one call to my cell phone. So my question is this. Are they allowed one initial call to your cell phone for even informational purposes?
Nope.
So I've got them for that, and then I can go after them for one claim only for the FDCPA.
Well, if they're still calling.
They're still calling.
Okay. Well, then you know what I think I'd do if they're still calling?
Mm-hmm.
Sit back in my easy chair because you never know when they might get stupid.
And call the cell phone again?
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't do anything about it.
As long as you're still, as long as you're still getting calls, there's still activity. They're still trying to do something. So give them a chance to, stick their tongue out and step on it.
Okay, because I still pick it up, but every time it's no longer a live person, it's always automated.
Uh-huh.
And it just hangs up. But I can't go after them for a claim for the home, no matter how many calls. Not even with intent to harass by letting the phone ring multiple times?
No, they'd have to make multiple calls a day.
In some cases,
and
they do.
How many is multiple? Two?
Two to three.
Well, I think three a day could be considered harassment.
Yeah,
you know, especially when they keep doing it.
Yeah, I've got at least several days of three, but most are two a day.
Yeah. I think you've got a reasonable basis for an FDCPA there for harassment, don't you, Jesse?
Absolutely. But remember, if you put in harassment, no, it's okay under the FDCPA if you put in harassment because you're only going to get one anyway unless you prosecute separately. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So one
yeah,
for the
but as long as you got active calls, yeah, I wouldn't be looking to move too quick on it. I mean, you know, you got a big long statute of limitations, plenty of time to deal with it. And then, like I said, you know, maybe they get tired, they don't get anything there, and they get stupid and start calling the other phone. You know, let's try this other one again.
All right, great. And I've had her mail off as of today the dispute letter, so because the deadline is tomorrow, so she got it off in the mail today. Okay,
within
so
the 30
now,
days?
Yeah, 30 days is tomorrow,
yeah.
So she mailed it off today.
Yeah,
so we're
and it's a good idea. Don't push those limits like that. The sooner you send it out, the better off you are.
Okay.
In most
Thank
cases.
You. I'll make a note of
sure.
that. Now, LexisNexis and Safeco, just a general question. I recently received from LexisNexis one response to the Bank of America / Countrywide inquiry date back in March of 11, they never answered any specific question as to the agent, address, anything. All they said was due to the age of the inquiry, they will have it removed. So I'm using that as my initiative to move forward with one more motion for amendment of my complaint to add in now the credit reporting agencies. While they're still trying to pursue me for a 12B6 failure to state a claim dismissal, here's my initial question. I think I'm doing great thus far based on the willful and statutory, but I do have in my possession two Capital One and I believe the other one is Citibank credit card denials, which clearly list number of inquiries as the reasons for one of the many reasons why they denied me that credit card. Could I or should I introduce this in the next amended complaint to say both statutory as well as negligent and showing these two examples as actual damages, or would that just mess me up?
That's a good question for Larry, I think, isn't it?
You said statutory and negligent. You mean willful and negligent?
Yes, willful and negligent.
Okay. I mean, you certainly could, and that's pretty good proof, but, you know, ultimately how much is that worth?
Yeah, good point.
You know, they delayed your getting a credit card for, let's say, 3 months.
Yeah.
Is that worth $1,000 or $100,000? Or? So, yeah, I'd go ahead and plead it. I wouldn't expect too much out of it.
Yeah, I guess for me it was
fair that you have a direct correlation to actual damages, which you do here.
Yeah, and that was my reason for asking, because I can then finally show actual damages that will put that whole 12B motion aside, as now we got to get back to moving towards a 26F to see if there is a permissible purpose. And with them removing Countrywide, because there was no name of Bank of America in the LexisNexis database or on any of my credit reports from all three of the agencies, but that's what they're raising as the actual end user who ordered the credit report. Well, my argument was, well, nowhere does it say that. It only says Countrywide. So give me more information on Countrywide, and they couldn't or didn't, and then they just removed the inquiry. So I feel it kind of strengthens my case, but they will still have to do their part to say, well, let's subpoena them, Bank of America or Countrywide, and see if they come forth with any information. So I'm thinking I'm looking pretty good, and this has been going on for over a year now, so I'm thinking we got to be getting close.
Could be
like
interesting.
Okay, yep. So I'll go ahead and put forth the amendment and introduce these two and see what happens and keep you guys posted. Thank you for everything.
All right, you bet. Thank you, Rodney.
Good night.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up tonight.
It is down.
Pardon?
I said, yes, it's done. It is 10:03.
Yes, and I'm going to run through the calls and stuff. Tomorrow, of course, we have a webinar. I'm going to be doing that webinar, and we're going to be talking about finding case law and using arguments and stuff, finding great arguments and language in pleadings. And this is, I think, going to be helpful to some people, give you some guidance on how to go about doing some of this and where to find some of this great material. And that, of course, is tomorrow afternoon at 3:00 Eastern for the members. Then tomorrow night is Terry's call. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. And if you're not on Terry's mailing list, please send your email reminder, or your email request, I should say, to queensongbird@gmail.com. Simply say, I'd like to be on the list. She'll get you on there. Don't do it tomorrow. Do it tonight, please, as soon as we wrap up here. Then, of course, on Monday, we have Dallas Death Discussion. And that is on TalkShoe. I've stayed on TalkShoe with that. That is, the PIN number is 54318. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. And come June, we're going to be 5 years doing that. It's just hard to believe. And we do that as a support call to what we're doing here. So, again, I want to say what I've said so often. These calls are not a substitute for being a member. These calls are meant to help you fit the pieces of the puzzle that are in the website together when you have some questions, but it's not a replacement for it. There's far too much information there for us to ever begin covering on the calls. But we encourage you to go back and listen to the archives of all of these calls, because there's a virtual wealth of information. Every single call since the beginning of all of our calls is all archived. So it's out there for you to take advantage of. The other thing is, of course, we don't have an advertising budget. Word-of-mouth advertising and you telling other people wherever you go that this is out here for people's benefit, the help is here, all they have to do is come and join us. So with that said, thanks to everybody for joining us tonight. Jesse, you got any last words?
Oh, man, just God bless everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you tomorrow.
All right.
Good night,
everybody.
Yes, good night. Great night. Thanks, David.